Hi, folks. Be sure to visit my webpage at dr-history.com for over 440 true stories of the Old West. Also, now available on Amazon, my first book, a historical fiction based on true events entitled Coal Miner to Cowboy. The story of a young man born in England in 1850. He wants to be a cowboy and makes his way to America, travels from New Orleans to Independence on a steamboat, hires on as a teamster to Santa Fe, then on a cattle drive to Bozeman, Montana. He also rides shotgun on a stagecoach. He travels with a wagon train, and on his two-year journey, he meets some famous people and keeps a journal of his adventures. The book contains a lot of the true stories from my podcast and is now available on Amazon. Visit my webpage for a link to Amazon for the book, Coal Miner to Cowboy.
Dr. History.
Good morning, Zeb.
Hey, my friend.
Yes.
You look good this morning.
Well,
as compared to other mornings.
Thank you. I'm feeling a lot better, I can tell you that.
You're not a coughing and a hacking and everything.
I'm on the mend.
There you go.
So I just got to say, folks, my book, Coal Miner to Cowboy,
is
on Amazon as print. And by the end of this week, it should be on as an ebook, so you can read it on your Kindle or your iPad.
So you finished it?
Well, I have a guy that's putting that on there as an ebook.
Oh.
And I'm going to Salt Lake the end of this week to record it.
You're
going to
record
it? Yes. So by the end of the month, I hope to have it on Amazon as print, ebook, and Audible, so you'll be able to listen. So that's the plan for hopefully by the end of this month.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to that. Keep us posted.
I'll do it.
And do we have to anything to say to Dr. Feeble Blister Budweiser Schnobly or whatever?
We're good.
Oh.
So here's something, Zeb, that helped our country grow in the late 1800s, and it's something I never thought of, and I'm going to bet you didn't either.
Okay. Well, I wasn't around then.
Are you sure? How about mail order brides?
You know, I've often seen TV shows and TV series about mail order brides in the Old West, and it made me wonder, how did they ever want to take such a chance?
Well, we're going to talk about it.
Okay, please.
So here we go. June 4th, 1871, Sarah Baines hopped down from a wagon at Fort Bridger, which, of course, was just kind of a rough military trading post in what would one day become Wyoming. Now, Baines, a 24-year-old seamstress from Louisiana, had just spent several months traveling 1,500 miles through rough territory in a stage alone, but she wouldn't be alone for very long. She came to Fort Bridger to get married.
You got
to
be kidding me.
The groom was Jay Hemsley, a 48-year-old farmer. The two had met after Hemsley responded to an ad. They corresponded by letter for more than a year before Hemsley finally proposed. The day after Baines arrived at Fort Bridger, they were married within one day. The next day, they left to open a general store in Placerville, California.
And then she filed for divorce, and being community property, she got half the general store.
Oh, okay. The Hemsleys were married for 51 years.
You're kidding me.
So it worked out. Okay. It worked out. But, you know, it seems like quite a tremendous risk. I mean, traveling thousands of miles into a territory to marry a person you've never met, only through an advertisement in a newspaper, I mean, it was a gamble. But there was a lot of men and women in the 19th century that were willing to take on this gamble, so to speak. And anyway, you'll see as we go along here, the rise of personal and matrimonial ads, appeals for companionship in newspapers and magazines, as well as in special publications devoted entirely to matchmaking.
You gotta be kidding.
So there were special newspaper type things were devoted to nothing but ads, personal ads.
So did these people that applied, did they have to fill out like questionnaires and that?
We'll read a few of them. You'll enjoy that.
I bet I will.
So it was a modern solution to an age-old problem. You know, America at the time was expanding at a tremendous rate. The first white people who moved into these territories were most often single men. Men in Wisconsin, for example, outnumbered women 2-1. The farther west, the more obvious the lack of women. In California, male settlers outnumbered women 200-1.
Are you kidding me?
So, now, there was one homesteading act that offered 320 acres of land to a single man, but 640 acres
to married couples.
Really?
So it was kind of a motivation to get married.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So people needed partners if they expected to be able to work the land or keep a house, you know, start a family, start having kids where, you know, because the kids worked on the farm, you know, and helped it get going. So the question is, how do you hook up, you know, a husband and a wife when they're hundreds, thousands of miles apart?
And have never met each other.
Never met.
And trust only the mail.
Right. So newspapers became an essential way to find a spouse for both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
So the newspapers were becoming easier to produce. The first personal ad in America was actually in 1759. And by the end of the century, newspapers in every state carried these personal ads.
No kidding.
So
it was a Dear Abby way back then.
Well, just an ad explaining who you were and what you,
yeah,
you know, what you wanted. So by the middle of the 19th century, personal ads were pretty much regular features in most newspapers. And I had never thought of that. I'd heard about it, but I didn't think it was that
big. Well, you should have. You're a doctor of history.
It's true. So now, it wasn't just bachelors who needed partners, okay? A Philadelphia paper in 1837 reported, quote, a superabundance of women in urban areas back east. So you had a bunch of single men in the West, a bunch of single women in the East.
Oh, my goodness. Our hearts were all aflutter.
They were. So the economic opportunities for women at the time wasn't very good back East. You know, pretty miserable, in fact. So while it might seem like a pretty big leap that your best option was to travel thousands of miles to marry a man you'd never met, for many women, it seemed like the best option.
And they were going just basically on what was written on paper.
No. Most of the time, they wrote back and forth.
No, so, but I mean, were corresponding, and they took each other's word for it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
So women in the East also actively placed marriage ads seeking matches with men out West. So the women were also placing ads. So there was a Mrs. Sarah Wilcox. She placed her ad in a newspaper in Arizona. It says, quote, wanted a few gentlemen correspondents with a view to matrimony by a middle-aged widow lady. And, of course, there was risk of death, violence, isolation, attacks to the frontier. Yet, you know, a lot of women still went. So,
did they ever say, you know, like, I want somebody, the girls would say, I want somebody 6'3".
Oh, yeah, we're going to get that.
I figured you wouldn't.
So one guy out West tried advertising for a wife, and it worked to a charm as usual. In response to his ad, he allegedly received 794 letters, 24 shirt buttons, 17 locks of hair, and 13 daguerreotypes, which are pictures of the ladies.
Yeah.
So there was a Miss Effie Newland, and it goes to say, quote, one of the wealthy young women of Hoxie, Kansas, married a Mr. Lopez, a sailor of Key West, Florida, after she, quote, jokingly responded to his ad for a wife. But Lopez was a really good writer, and the girl soon became infatuated. Lopez traveled to Hoxie, and the couple were married while the parents protested.
And what does that mean?
It worked out.
The parents protested.
Yeah, they didn't particularly want her marrying this guy.
Hatfields and McCoys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Los Angeles Herald reported that a 32-year-old man, and this is not very good, shot and killed his heavily insured 19-year-old wife, whom he'd met through an advertisement. So there were some sad situations.
I would say.
Yeah.
My goodness.
You know, there were stories with happy endings. Marriages that didn't end in murder, abandonment, abuse, fraud, or divorce were also written about in newspapers and helped popularize the practice. One headline from 1907 declared, quote, girl writes in secret and wins a rich planter.
Really?
Came up with a rich guy.
I can imagine a girl going like 1,000 miles, getting off a train, and the guy says what he's going to be wearing and everything, and I can just see her looking at the guy and getting right back on the train.
Yeah. Well, so this rich planter guy, the pair met, but they had spent 3 years writing to each other.
No.
3 years back and forth, and they married the day they met in person.
Married the day they met.
Well, that's usually the way it happened. So,
wow.
Yeah. But here's one out of the Rochester, New York paper. It says, quote, "A big matrimonial swindle has been unearthed here by the postal authorities. Upon the complaint of a Nebraska man, 300 persons have been victimized, according to a book found in the possession of the man and woman under arrest, who give the names of Chris and Annie Warner. They were taking money from women, supposedly under the guise of getting married."
Okay, so now how much money did these people have to spend for these advertisements?
I don't know. I don't think it would be very much.
Okay.
Guessing.
All right.
You know?
But, and they would put in a letter like, "Hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm a farmer in Wichita, Kansas," or what?
I've got some good ones here.
I figured you would.
So, you know, there's a thread that runs through the personal ads that help settlers in the American West. People needed people, and they'll find a way to meet each other, even if that means gambling, well, here it is, on a 25-cent ad or a profile on a dating site of some kind.
Wow.
So it's a leap of faith. You know, you didn't have pictures back and forth. So any marriage is a leap of faith. Even today, you never really know what you're getting into, and you never know what the future holds. But personal ads began appearing as soon as newspapers became common. Some 300 years ago, that started. So in a British publication in 1695, it says, quote, "A gentleman about 30 years of age that says he has a very good estate would willingly match himself to some good young gentlewoman that has a fortune of £300 or thereabouts, and he will make settlement to content."
I love that.
In other words, if you've had £300, I might consider you, and that was a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
You know, and at the time, marriage was more about money and status than relationship
really?
In some situations.
Oh my.
So here's a couple of ads, Zeb. You're going to like this. Chance for a Spinster. Okay, that's the title. Okay. "A young man in Aroostook County, Maine, advertising for a wife, speaks of himself as follows. Quote, 'I am 18 years old, have a good set of teeth, and believe in Andy Johnson, the Star Spangled Banner, and the 4th of July. I have taken up a state lot, cleared up 18 acres last year, and ceded 10 of it to Down. My buckwheat looks first rate, and the oats and potatoes are bully. I have got 9 sheep, a 2-year-old bull, and 2 heifers, besides a house and barn. I want to get married. I want to buy bread and butter, hoop skirts, and waterfalls for some person of the female persuasion during life. That's what's the matter with me, but I don't know how to do it."
And did he get a response?
I don't know.
You don't know. Is he still writing, by the way?
He might be. Here's another one. You'll like this. Women looking for grooms.
I see.
Here we go. "I am fat, fair." Let me start over, Zeb. Quit laughing. "I am fat."
What a way to start a letter.
Well, you know, truth. "I am fat, fair, and plan on losing no weight. I am 48, 5 feet high, am a number one lady, well fixed with no encumbrance, am in business in city, but want a partner who lives in the West, want an energetic man that has some means, not under 40 years of age, and weight no less than 180, of good habits, a Christian gentleman preferred." Don't you love that?
Did she have to pay extra tax money on the stage to carry her? She must have been a bulky.
Let's see. Here's another one. "A wealthy Southern young lady whom circumstances compel to live with strangers where she is not happy wishes to make the acquaintance of a thorough gentleman, not over 30 years, who would be willing to form an immediate matrimonial connection as she doesn't like to return south."
Wow. I mean, here we talk about people today that are incompatible, and we talk about people today that they get married and then 6 months later they're clamoring for a divorce. These people were really committed.
Now, here's one that's kind of a little humor to it.
Oh, okay.
If you will see.
"Hi, I'm fat.
Any young gentlewoman that is minded to dispose herself in marriage to a well-accomplished young widower and has £500 or £600 to secure to him by deed of gift, she may repair to the Sign of the Glass Lanthorn in Steeple Square to find all the encouragement she can reasonably desire. Now, it's kind of weird wording, but here's the kicker. The author was 16-year-old Benjamin Franklin.
You're kidding.
Who composed it as kind of a joke.
You know, the language. We've talked about this in the past, but going back to the 1700s and the 1800s, the language was so flowery.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. You know,
yeah.
we've talked about
they
that.
They really used some words.
Yeah, yeah. Here's another one. I am 27, employed by the government, have small but reasonable salary, will make some poor working girl from 18 to 25 a good husband and a happy home, must be Protestant, no dancers, flirts, or streetwalkers need answer, object matrimony.
Oh, you know, and they probably had some takers.
Yeah. So let me show you a picture here, Zeb.
Okay.
Here's a picture.
Okay, I got to look at this, the picture. Okay, yeah. Okay, wives.
Wives wanted.
There's four guys sitting outside of a log cabin in Montana, and boy, they look not very happy. And the sign on the door says, wives wanted.
Yeah, okay. Here's another picture. You can see that.
All right. Now, this is another mail order bride.
Yeah, now that looks pretty good. I mean, she's dressed in a nice way.
They both look like really fine young people.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And that was Sarah Baines, and she married a guy in Wyoming. She was a 24-year-old seamstress, it says. And he was a guy 48. Whoa, she was 24, he was 48.
Yeah, but well-established. He must have had some money. You know, and like I said, they were married for 51 years.
Wow.
So,
and they look like, in the picture at least, very happy.
Yeah.
I can't help but laugh because these marriages, a lot of them lasted, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I think one of the factors was the fact that they got married and they had a common goal, and that was to work hard and establish their ranch or their farm or their business and raise a family, you know. And back then, you know, 8 or 10 kids was not unusual, because unfortunately they a lot of times lost sometimes 2 or 3 children at childbirth or accidents. So you know, it was in some ways a business arrangement.
Well, it's right here. It goes along and basically verifies what you just said. These people in this picture, I don't know if you read this or not.
Yeah.
She got off the train on the day they were married.
Right.
At Fort Bridger. And the day after their marriage, the very next day, they just met each other. They left to open a general store over 1,500 miles away in Placerville, California.
So, you know, what better way to get to know somebody than to travel 1,500 miles for the next, what?
They could have been
months.
A wreck, too.
It could have been. But, you know, by the mid-1800s, personal ads were pretty much regular features of most newspapers, which began to serve as, you know, matchmaking, matrimonial columns. You know, it was, some people who placed the ads were very candid and specific about what they were looking for, and some may have been a little aggressive in describing their attributes.
I see. Well, that one girl was really honest. She said,
right,
dear so-and-so,
there.
I'm fat.
Yeah. You know, if you're looking for skinny mini, I'm not her.
You know, how long did you court your wife?
It was about 9 or 10 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Deanna and I only 3 months.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, my wife is 6 years younger than I am, so I say I had to wait for her to grow up, but she says she had to wait for me to grow up.
Yeah, but you haven't.
And she's still waiting.
Okay.
She's still waiting for me to grow up.
This is really interesting, because you see these on television with the old Westerns and everything, and now you're telling me that basically a lot of them succeeded.
Well, and look at this. Back east, you've got green forests and fields and rivers and lakes, and you come out west to desert, sagebrush. I mean, it probably was a little concerning to some of these ladies to see, man, I'm moving out here to this.
Yeah. Well, then the other side of that coin is once they're here and they think, ooh, I don't know if I got enough money to go back home.
Right. Yeah. When they were here, they were probably stuck.
Yeah.
I know I've heard of English women coming out here from England, which is beautiful, green, you know, lush.
Oh, my.
And getting out here to Oakley, Idaho, or, you know, out here to the desert.
Oh,
thinking,
my.
Oh, what did I get myself into?
Yeah. And what are they going to do?
Exactly. You know, I mean, just buck up and hopefully make it work.
Oh, my
And
that,
there were probably a few that didn't, that maybe figured out a way.
I wonder if there's any families in this area that can go back in their family history and maybe talk about a grandpa or great-grandfather or whatever that was a mail order type thing.
That's a good question.
We ought to find somebody.
Yeah, if somebody out there knows of that, give me a call. Let me know. Send me an email or whatever, because I'd love to hear a personal story.
Yeah, from right here in this area.
Yeah, that would be great.
Wow. Well, you did it again.
Well, that was fun. That was a fun day.
And I'll never forget the letter. Hi, I'm so-and-so, and I'm fat.
Well, put it out there, you know.
I love it, the honesty. I mean, I'm fat, and I ain't going to change.
You know, and how many of the men would have said, you know, I'm skinny, or I'm fat, or I don't have much money.
I bet you money. Did money play a big, big portion of how they were picked?
You know, I would think some of the women would have at least wanted to know, do you have a farm? Do you have 40 acres?
Yeah.
Do you have?
And how did they know they weren't lying?
That was the big question, you know.
Ooh.
And that's why a lot of them wrote for a year, 2 years, back and forth, you know.
Yeah.
And hopefully they...
Let's see if we can't find somebody out there that maybe had some far distant relatives that were married through the mail.
That would be fun.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.